from Streamline Publishing, the Radio and Television Business Report, Radio Inc., and our friends at HispanicAd.com. Welcome to another Hispanic Radio Podcast. This is Adam R. Jacobson in Hollywood, Florida, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to yet another broadcaster at a broadcast company that is using Hispanic radio to grow his business and that of his client sponsors. Please welcome to this podcast, George Mier. Hi, George. How are you?
Hi, Adam. Pleasure to talk to you. It's been a couple of years.
Yes, it's been a little while. For those familiar with George's name, he has quite an extensive background. He worked for SBS, Spanish Broadcasting System, from 1993 to 2008, and today is with Q Broadcasting Corporation, which is a Florida entity. What is your title there?
Many titles.
The man of many hats.
It's a small business. It's a family business. So we can just do all sorts of things. We just get things done. You could say I handle the operation of all the radio stations and make sure everyone is in unity. And we get things done, Adam.
Mm-hmm. So Q Broadcasting Company is comprised of AM radio stations that have really used Chairman Pai's AM revitalization efforts to reach new heights in both Orlando and in Tampa. We're going to start our conversation today in Orlando, which is a vastly growing Hispanic community. There's lots of opportunity there, but with opportunity, of course, comes the risks associated with growth that might not be as focused and on target as could be. Because of Hurricane Maria, the acceleration of the Puerto Rican population increase in Kissimmee, St. Cloud, and throughout the entire Orlando DMA has absolutely exploded. There has always been a large Puerto Rican population in the Orlando market, but now it's as large as ever. That's not to say that there are not other nationalities in Orlando. So let's ask this first question to George. Hispanic radio comes in many varieties, and in Orlando, you've excelled with two stations that focus on talk and on reggaeton. So how have these particular stations carved a niche in a market that is, quite frankly, more competitive than it's ever been before?
Well, Adam, WONQ, this is where it all started back in 1985. WONQ became the first to broadcast in Spanish language in Orlando in the Central Florida area. And for many years, it was the source of all things Hispanic in the region, from fundraisers for disaster victims to local grassroots events and youth community involvement. Of course, we had music and entertainment, but being a full-service medium is what truly made the difference. So much so that to this day, WONQ still enjoys the credibility in the market as a channel of turned to for sober talk and vital information about what affects the Hispanic community. Regarding WURF, this format is currently on a test mode. It is a true urban format to explore Hispanic urban, as they call it. A few stations have dabbled with it in the recent past, but besides playing some of the hits, I believe many have not achieved its fullest potential, mainly for failing to fully commit and understand the audience and essence of the format beyond the music. Someone has to take a chance.
Urban is a term that a lot of people in the industry may have heard perhaps 25 years ago. Just to kind of describe what you have going on, it's Urbana FM. It's branded as a reggaeton station. It's at 103.5 in Orlando. If you go further south to Kissimmee, it's at 103.7. So you have adjacent translators that are playing from such artists as Zioni Lennox, Raycon, Farruko, Daddy Yankee. It's definitely speaking to the young Latino listener that has really increased in number in Central Florida, I would think, over the last several years.
Yes.
What sort of response are you getting after just 6 months on the air?
Well, you know, the response is good with the core audience. And as I mentioned, you know, the other states, the bigger stations, I'm playing some of the hits. We are super serving this audience with content, lifestyle, local engagement, social media. So in the world of ratings, you know, as I said, it's a test format because it's laser focused on that young audience. Is that young audience carrying meters? Perhaps not. Perhaps they'll be motivated to carry meters.
Right.
And there's always been that 18 to 24 gap for most formats, from broad to PHR to others, that how do we get these people to listen? You know, they're just rebellious. They're into their own thing, their own world. So, and that's what we are. We're taking that challenge. We're testing it. We're trying to motivate those people and have them grow up with us. So that's what I can tell you about that.
And then over in Tampa, and then if you go over to Tampa, take a quick drive on I-4 about an hour or so, depending on the traffic past Disney World, you have two really remarkable operations there. One is La Mega, which I believe is a straight-up tropical format. Is that correct?
La Mega, it's, it could sound like a tropical format because it's called La Mega, but it's basically an adult hit format. It plays anything from the late 70s through 2014. And it doesn't play any urban music yet. So
yet.
It's more of an adult 25, 54, 30 plus type of format, which is what we found out through our research that fits in this market right now at this moment. So we just took that road.
The other...
With WTIS, obviously.
Yes.
Basically a dead radio station. The station was off for over a year. We took it over, both the AM site and brought the translator from St. Petersburg, where it was, to downtown Tampa, which basically gives us a city-grade signal. And obviously the AM covers all the way to past Sarasota and to the north, Newport Richey, and to the east, Lakeland, and so forth.
I think one of the real remarkable things that you have in your operation right now is La Ley, which is at 107.7 FM on a translator, based out of WAMA AM 1550. You're doing a regional Mexican format in the greater Tampa, St. Petersburg area. Some people might think, what are you guys thinking? Obviously, you've done your homework. What can you say about the reaction and whatever success you have to date with a station offering programming that you can't really hear on any of those big signals on I-4 or across the Gandy and the Howard Franklin Bridge? I can tell you that much. George, you there?
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Okay. We had a little bit of a commercial break there. This commercial is brought to you by Q Broadcasting Corporation. We're back with George Meyer. And I don't know if you had heard me or not, but yes, we're doing this live to tape, folks. So just bear with us. That's okay. So I had a question regarding the success of La Ley in a market where traditionally, as I've done my research on the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, you have a lot of your core listeners traditionally in Polk County, out in the agricultural areas closer to Lakeland. You have a downtown stick covering not only Hillsborough County, but a good chunk of Pinellas. I think that speaks a lot about how the market is rapidly changing and that there is a regional Mexican audience very much in central Tampa that you are covering with much success.
In the case of, yes, absolutely. In the case of La Ley, WAMA, the Mexican population in the Tampa metro area is close to 35% of the total Hispanic population. They've been here for years, for over 20 years. They are Mexican Americans. They participate in the ratings, and it shows consistently. And that was one of the reasons. You know, these people are not hiding. They are actually participating in the system, and they go watch movies and do everything else that Hispanics do. just like, you know, Mexicans in LA or New York or any other market. The brand Lalay was previously with different ownership a few years ago, and before we even thought about owning a station or having a station on a regional Mexican format, we were watching the numbers, and we were always impressed at the numbers that the Mexican radio had in Tampa. So when we had the opportunity to acquire WAMA from CGS and brought in this translator, we just gave it some TLC. We just, you know, made the station better. It had, you know, started with more listener engagement and audience and promotions, and just basically put the station where it really deserved to be. And people love it, and it's working. And definitely the FM translator with the coverage that we had, we put that thing at about 1,500 feet over terrain. So we're getting close to a Class A FM signal with a 250-watt translator.
Which is awesome. And I mean, anyone who's been in Florida knows just how these signals can go beyond what you see in radiolocator.com. And hats off to you guys. And perhaps a toast to the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, for his fervent support of AM revitalization efforts. This has really given new life to a lot of broadcasting companies. And I would ask if, you know, you could be frank, perhaps, in sharing with our listeners if this AM revitalization effort that was championed by the FCC really gave new life to Q Broadcasting. Without these FM translators, where would you be right now as a company?
We would be very locally focused and just trying to make it, basically. This has been a breath of fresh air, an opportunity to kind of get into the race and take a little bit of the market that nobody else is serving. You know, the big stations are doing great, and mm-hmm. they do a great job at it. But there's always been space for these little independent owners that have alternative formats that don't necessarily compete with the bigger guys. They just serve a piece of the pie that everybody else is too busy doing the bigger things. And that's okay.
And again, that is probably a great place to conclude this podcast, because it sends a very positive message to perhaps a Anglo broadcaster or a guy who's in a big market with what he thinks is a small stick and maybe can't, because of resources, compete directly against a large company like iHeartMedia or Cox Media Group. But you know what? With an FM translator and a little bit of what's the word I'm thinking for in English? Experience, knowledge, con ganas, I think is the best way to say this. you can go in and really make a difference for the listener, for the advertiser, and for your business. So hats off to George Mier for what you've done in Central Florida and in the Tampa Bay area. You know, you've had a remarkable career, and I think it's just another great way to say, you know, with the FM translator, these AMs can get new life, and that new life might come in Espanol, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you what, I want to add one more thing.
Sure.
Coming from basic to intermediate radio engineering background, and having a veteran father and a younger brother in the field definitely has its advantages. I mean, we were able to strategically place these translators near the areas with the highest concentrations of Hispanic population, which at least, like I said, puts us in the race, you know, with the big boys. So, hats off to them too, because it's not only about acquiring the translators, it's about strategically placing them. Also, you know, what strategy do I have? Do I have a valid option as a format, or am I just, you know, putting on another station? There's so many options today. You really, really need to know who you're super serving. Yeah.
And on that note, George, I'll say that concludes this broadcast, this podcast, which is copyright 2018 Streamline Publishing. The Hispanic Radio Podcast is brought to you by Radio Inc., the Radio and Television Business Report, and our partners at HispanicAd.com. And don't forget to save the date now for March 2019 for the Hispanic Radio Conference, where all of these podcasts are housed for future listening. Visit HispanicRadioPodcast.com. Thank you and have a great day.